Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Hey, happy Wednesday morning to you. It's 9:09 here on KDXU. I'm Andy Griffin. Thanks for being here. Appreciate all the people that make this show possible, including Angelica's Mexican Grill. Have you been to Angelica's? Well, here's a spoiler alert or a little hint or something. First of all, their food is the best Mexican food around. Second of all, I'm going to be giving away during the show today a $10 gift card to Angelica's so you can go try it for yourself if you haven't yet. Or if you have but want to, you know how good it is and want to go back. That's later in the show, so don't text me yet. Today, did want to wish happy birthday. My uncle passed away. Gosh, how long has it been? A few months ago. He was not that old. Now, when I say not that old, this is a matter of relativity, right? I'm 59 now. My uncle was older than me. I would say he was probably 69, maybe a decade older than me, maybe a little bit more than that. But to me, that's not that old, right? When I was 30, that was, oh, man, that's old. But now I'm like, no, that's not that old. So I'm going to tell you what happened. And by the way, happy birthday, Uncle Don, up there in heaven. So Don was, he and his wife lived in Daybreak up there in Salt Lake Valley. And he heard a noise in the night. It's kind of a nightmare scenario at first, right? You think, oh, there must be an intruder. Must be something going on. Now, they had, I think it was their grandson staying with them. And that's probably the noise he heard, but we don't know for sure. But he and his wife, Pat, their bedroom is upstairs. And he got up to investigate what the noise was. And sadly, he tripped and fell down the stairs. We don't know why. It was dark, but not that dark. He'd been up and down those stairs 1,000 times. But for whatever reason, he lost his balance and tripped. In fact, my Aunt Pat kind of surmises that maybe he had some kind of medical episode, like a stroke or something, and that's what made him trip, because he was a lithe guy, L-I-T-H-E. He was an athlete, a former marathon runner. He wasn't the kind of guy, like me, I've got some leg problems. If I tripped on stairs, not a lot of people would be that surprised, right? But Don was not. Don was an athletic guy who, he didn't see that well. He was, you know, losing his vision, but he saw well enough, and he'd been up and down those stairs so many times that to assume he just tripped on the stairs isn't not a very sound assumption. I, like my Aunt Pat, thought there's something else must have happened. He fell, and he fell so hard. So they're kind of the zigzag stairs that go down and then to a landing and then down to another landing. He fell so hard that the back of his head and neck made a hole in the sheetrock at the bottom of the landing. Sadly, it broke his neck and he died. It's obviously sad. Don was too young to die. But leaves so many questions. Like, what happened? Death is all around us, sadly. It happens all the time. We're talking about the guy in Springville that pushed his wife out of the way and was hit by a drunk driver and died. So it's all around us. There's another death I want to talk about here in a minute. But Don passed away that night, and he hit that landing hard, and he hit that wall hard enough to make a hole. And there's just something not right about it. I believe he had a stroke or a heart attack and fell, and maybe was already dead even before he hit the wall. Don't know. But I know Pat is hurting right now. She did not think she was going to celebrate his birthday today at the cemetery, and she posted online. And yeah, Uncle Don's always a good guy. One thing about my Uncle Don, though, that was really an anomaly, made him a little different. He was as soft-spoken a guy as you'll ever meet in your life. In fact, you could stand right next to Don and say, "How you doing, Don?" He'd go, he was so hard to hear. Just a soft-spoken guy. But It reminds me of that Seinfeld episode of that lady that ended up getting Jerry Seinfeld to wear a pirate shirt on the Tonight Show. But I don't want to be a pirate, because she was a soft speaker. He agreed to something he didn't even know he'd agreed to. So, anyway, happy birthday, Uncle Don. Couple of other things we're going to talk about in the next few minutes. Passwords. Should you share your password with your loved ones? Certainly with your spouse, I think you should. What about your kids or someone else? Or should you write them down somewhere? Wasn't that kind of defeating the whole purpose of a password? We'll talk about that in a couple of minutes as well. Right now, though, kind of the hot story around the nation is this stabbing that took place in Charlotte, North Carolina. I'll tell you what I've learned. Maybe you haven't heard about it. Maybe you have heard about it, but don't know all the details. But I'm going to tell you what I've learned this morning and yesterday reading about it. Okay. The victim, the lady, girl's name, Irina Zarutska. She is a Ukrainian refugee who left Ukraine in 2022 and came to America and quickly embraced her new life in the United States. She loved it here. There's a war going on there. She was able to get the paperwork and immigrate here legally. She had her parents, her mother, her sister, and brother all lived in the area. She had a boyfriend she was living with. In fact, so she got on the transit, the trolley train, whatever it is, the electric, they call it light rail, I guess, saw an open seat, went and sat down. And what do people usually do when they go and sit down? She sat down, got on her phone, started looking at stuff on her phone. Unbeknownst to her, sitting right behind her was this guy. Big black dude named DeCarlos Brown, who has a rap sheet as long as I am tall. Very, very long. Besides a rap sheet, DeCarlos Brown also had some major mental illness. He'd been diagnosed with schizophrenia, paranoia, suffered from hallucinations. And for whatever reason, and we'll talk about the reason in a moment, this guy, this Brown guy, pulls out his pocket knife, unfolds it, and begins to stab this young lady. Cute little blonde young lady, refugee from Ukraine. Stabbed her 3 times with this pocket knife and walks away. Awful, awful. And I wonder, I don't know if she was going to die anyway. But there were 4 people within 3 or 4 seats of this arena girl, Zarutska, and they didn't do anything. They just sat there. Nobody tried to stop the bleeding. Nobody tried to help her. A few minutes later, other people in other parts of that same train car saw her bleeding and went over and tried to help. But at that point, she had bled out and died. The 4 people, all African-Americans, none of them lifted a finger to help this little blonde white girl. Now, President Trump is trying to make it a little bit about race. I don't know. This is almost more about mental illness than it is about race. And it's about, he's right in that it's about safety in the city. But I don't know that there's a whole lot that could have been done to stop this one. He was a mentor, maybe if he was in an institution, but he didn't really quite qualify to be institutionalized. He didn't have a gun. Even the knife he had was not one you would normally suspect would be in that situation. It was a pocket knife. Oh, 2-inch, 3-inch blade that he had to unfold on a pocket knife. Should he have had it? Probably not, given his mental problems, but still he did. And it's not illegal to have it. Some other factors involved in this. Number one, this is America. This shouldn't happen, right? This kind of thing. It's a nightmare scenario, right? 90-something percent of murders are committed by someone close to the person, an acquaintance, a spouse, a family member. This was two strangers on a train. Never met each other. Didn't know a single thing about each other. So that's kind of the nightmare. I think every one of us can picture our wives getting on a train, public transit, and being murdered. It's a nightmare. It's the worst. As far as the race thing, I don't think the stabbing is about race at all. I really don't. It's about a mentally ill guy doing an unthinkable act. Could have been brown or purple or yellow or green or whatever. I don't think race really had anything to do with it. But did race have something to do with the immediate aftermath? When that guy got up and walked away after stabbing the girl three times, there were four black people within three or four seats of her, just really close. And they didn't do anything. They didn't help her. They didn't move. They saw it happen. They witnessed what happened. They saw the girl sitting there bleeding. They did nothing. Is it because the media, the left in particular, has set things up to white people bad, black people good, and this girl deserved it because she's white, even though she's actually not your typical white person, right? Because she's from Ukraine. But I don't know what the answer to this is. I have some good friends that are African American, and they would condemn this in a heartbeat, just like I am. And if I were to ask them about race, they would say, well, look, there's not a race problem in America, whites against blacks. He said, it's blacks against blacks. My friend of mine, Max, he says it's black violence on black people is the biggest problem. And then you have something like this, black violence on a white person. Was it racist? No. Didn't what happened afterward? Kind of racist? Gosh, I hope not. Feels like it. So this guy, this murderer, Brown, had all kinds of mental problems. In fact, they interviewed his sister, Tracy Brown. CNN talked to her, said, what's the deal with your brother? She said, well, he's got mental problems. In fact, he attacked me once and was arrested for attacking me. This was 3 years ago. She said she decided to drop the charges because she was really worried about his mental health more than anything. He didn't need to be in jail. He's had several convictions, including armed robbery, felony larceny, breaking and entering. He was in jail 5 years, his last stint. His sister Tracy said when he came out of jail this last time, he didn't seem like himself anymore. And she tried to get him put into a long-term facility, but her attempts failed. Several reasons. They don't feel like he was bad enough. Number two, she wasn't his guardian. She said, this is Tracy Brown, the sister of the murderer. She said, I asked him why he did it. His answer, because she was reading my mind. He got up and stabbed her three times because she was... Now, if you watch the video, all the videos I've seen, they stop right as he raises his arm to stab her. They stop that. So I haven't actually seen, which is good. Don't need to see that. But then one of the videos I saw showed aftermath when he was walking around the train car before it had stopped, blood dripping from his hands. And he was, by the way, arrested without incident on the railway platform not long after that. But I don't know, though. She was reading my mind. If you watch the video, she gets on the train, sees an empty seat, sits down, doesn't even look at anyone else in the car. She sits down, pulls her phone out, and starts texting and reading stories on her phone. She doesn't acknowledge this guy. She doesn't acknowledge anyone else. She doesn't bother anyone. In fact, she sits in an empty seat and pulls her phone out. That's it. That's all she does. The whole thing is just, I don't know. Do you have thoughts on it? If you would like to weigh in, you can text me at 467-5842. That's 435 area code 467-5842. 6735842. You're always welcome to call the show at 6735890, 435-673-5890. The whole thing is, I guess one of the other troubling parts of it is that this came to light through the Glenn Beck show. This happened about 2.5 weeks ago. This was August 22nd when this happened. It got zero coverage by the, what they're calling legacy media, the big boys, CNN, NBC, ABC, CBS. They didn't cover it. It was a non-story. And the case being made by people like Sean Hannity, Clay and Buck, Mark Levin is, if they're so, the left, if they're so fired up about human rights, about, you know, bad things happen, you know, the whole Black Lives Matter, all the things out there, you know, why weren't they fired up about this one? Was it because a black man killed a white girl? Is that why they weren't fired up? Is that why it didn't make the headlines? Imagine if, just think about this for a second. Imagine if that was a black girl that got killed, and it was a white man that did it, and there were four white people sitting in that section of the car that watched it and then sat there and did nothing, didn't try to help the girl. Just imagine the media firestorm that would be going on right now. Is it about race? I don't want it to be. I don't want our country embroiled in another race war, if you will, another race controversy. But it sure feels like that CNN and all these other guys were like, black guy kills a white girl, not a big deal. Man, if only it had been a white guy killing a black girl, then we could make a big deal of it. I remember way back in J school, they called it J school when I was in journalism school up at Utah State. One of the first days you're in, you know, journalism 101 or 201, whatever the class was. One of the first days they say, listen, dog bites man is not a story. But man bites dog, that's a story. This is kind of a version of that, right? Black man kills white woman, not a story. Had it been a white man killing a black woman, maybe that would have been a story. I don't know. I just don't know. I just know that it makes me so very sad that this girl came to America to escape war, embrace the American dream. Seemingly, I don't know much about her. Maybe we'll find out more, but seemingly very, very innocent. She was just this cute little girl wearing sweats and a T-shirt and a hat going home to see her sweetheart. And she was stabbed to death on public transit in a city in America. And it makes me sad. Makes me really, really sad. We are at 9:27. McCray Hepler, I believe, is going to be. He said he was coming, but I haven't seen him come in yet. Hopefully we'll get McCray here shortly. Real quickly on the whole password. Oh, by the way, I did want to read President Trump's statement. President Trump put on True Social, he said, quote, the animal who so violently killed the beautiful young lady from Ukraine who came to America searching for peace and safety should be given a quick, there is no doubt he did it, trial and only awarded the death penalty. There can be no other option. President Donald J. Trump. That was what President Trump said. It's hard to disagree, isn't it? Real quickly on the passwords, maybe we can get McCray to weigh in on this when we get there. I don't know about you, but my work, maybe some of you aren't working, but my work makes you change a password every month. It's kind of a pain in the neck because you run out of things to change it to after a while, right? So I have to change my password at work all the time, and it drives me nuts, but whatever, it is what it is, right? But one thing I've always done is let my wife know what the password is to get my email, to get into my phone, whatever it is. And there was a recent scenario. Someone on Facebook said, hey, my husband won't give me his password to his phone. And the question is, well, should that be a big deal? Should I be upset by this? And there were all kinds of comments online about this, on whether or not she should be upset. But the general feeling, the general consensus was, if your husband won't give you the password to his phone, he's got stuff on there he doesn't want you to see. We'll be right back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
The quarterback, the stud, the man with the great hair, McCray Hepler, is in the house right now. You still call yourself a quarterback? I know it's been a while, McCray.
It's been way too long. Yeah. I haven't played quarterback. I played City League for a while, but it's even been, it's now been like 7 years since that.
All right. Only time I play football, and I don't do it as much anymore, but every Thanksgiving we'd have the, you know, the turkey bowl thing. And I was in a neighborhood for a while. We lived by that Turner Turf Farm over there. Mm-hmm. And we had major big time football games going on. There were like three or four going at once, and then the winners would play and all that stuff. Yeah. It was a lot of fun. I played quarterback. I have a good arm. I don't move real well, which actually is pretty conducive to flag football, because they can't rush you till, you know, after 3 seconds, three alligators or whatever it is, you know.
Yeah.
And my favorite target was my son, because he's 6'6". And I knew if I was in trouble, I could just throw it up and he could go get it.
Yeah.
So it's nice having a tall receiver. But
for sure.
Yeah, I was never a McCray Hepler level quarterback.
I wasn't. I never had the opportunity, really, during, you know, we were not that I didn't have the opportunity, although at the same time, it's not a dig, but we ran the ball 97% of the time at Dixie High.
I actually had the same experience in high school.
I was a glorified hand the ball.
You were really good at it, though.
But I did get the opportunity to make the call at the line, so I did feel like it wasn't just me going up there and just handing the ball off. I had to go up there and read the defense.
Right.
And
right.
Based on how the defense was set was how we would –
Which direction and what play we were running,
but and then I would throw it, you know, a couple times a game. I do remember my senior year, the Canyon View game. I did get the game ball that game because I did have two touchdowns.
All right.
And but yeah, it was super fun though. I did have a 6'6" receiver my sophomore year. He was a junior, and he had just moved in from California, and he was playing a little bit of JV. But then ended up getting pulled up to the varsity. But those were some fun. Those were some fun games. And then he broke his leg, which wasn't fun. But yeah, good times.
I was an offensive lineman, and my senior year we had a 2,000-yard rusher. And the only way you get 2,000 yards in 9 games is if you run the ball a lot, like 35, 40 times a game. And so I was proud to be a part of that.
Oh yeah. Well, and Nate Carter had 2,000 that year, but he ended up like fourth all time in state. He had like 4,600 rushing yards, because he played a little bit sophomore year, started senior year, and then junior year, and then senior year. He was incredible. So
he was, and you got to throw a lot of passes. They were just the kind of the backward pitch kind. Right?
Yeah, exactly. And nothing wrong with that. So,
well, McCray, of course, is he runs Eagle Gate Title. Doing well with Eagle Gate,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's busy.
The title company is weird, because you don't advertise, you don't go out and try to get customers. They come to you, kind of, right? Realtors.
They come to us through the realtors and the people that are guiding people, the buyers and sellers, into buying and selling homes. We market to those guys, because most people don't know.
Yeah.
They know they're going to close on their home, but a lot of times they don't know that where it's being done unless they've done it a few times.
So that big giant, if you've ever bought a home, there's a big giant stack of papers.
Yes.
McCray's the one to make sure those are all the ones that you need to sign and those are all correct,
yep.
Right?
Yeah. But we definitely do have a process and a way, a customer experience that we do get a lot of repeat buyers and sellers because of the experience. Like, You can either be a really pro, you can either be a really hands-on title company and be involved throughout, or you can exist and not do that. We've decided to make the approach of really being in front of the client as well as much as we can, and it's given us the ability to have more, you know, repeats as the years go on because of the experience they had the last time. So, which is cool.
Very cool. Well, like I said, us average people aren't going to go out shopping for a title company, but
right.
It's good to know there are people like Eagle Gate Title that can get it done.
For sure.
Yeah. Nice. Okay, so let's talk a little bit. McCray, his other thing, his, I guess, avocation at this point, his hobby is making videos telling us about what's happening in southern Utah. And it's fun. You're growing, right? I mean, seems like you get more and more. Every time I see the count on the videos, I'm like, wow, way to go, McCray.
Yeah, it's moving on up. It's crazy. People love hearing what's coming to St. George.
Is there a video dropping today? I didn't see one
What's
yet.
Funny, nope, today actually my video guy was on vacation last week, so no video this week. It does happen every once in a while for those listening that expect it. I do get some DMs everyone. It's been 3 weeks, I think, this year, that I have missed a week. Wow. And there are times where I get a DM midway through the day on a Wednesday, and they're like, hey, where's the video?
You're like, I'm sorry.
I shoot for every Wednesday, but there are weeks that it doesn't happen.
Do you mind me asking? It costs money to produce these things. Do you put the bill yourself? Is that?
Yeah, I do. I mean, it's just part of my business. And so it's I started it as a way to market myself and my business. And it's still under that same, you know, the same, just under my business. And so it's a business expense. And, but I do get a lot of, it's a great network builder. I meet a lot of people. Yeah, I get a lot of business through it. So, but it does cost money. Yes.
And there's another aspect to this that I don't think people realize. Being in front of the camera is, I'm not going to say it's a skill. It's something you develop. And I was fortunate. I grew up in a media family. My dad was a TV weatherman. I learned early on how to be in front of a camera and talk in front and make the right eye contact and say the right thing and kind of have the right attitude. You're very good, McCray, at being in front of the camera. That is not something, I mean, you see people trying to do it with their phones sometimes. You're like, oh, boy, this is bad.
Yeah.
But you've developed, and I would say it's a skill that you've developed.
And I appreciate that because I still don't feel that.
I know.
And I do a lot, way too many retakes, and I'm just, I still just think through every word, and I want it to be
so. You should do one live once just to see what
it is. Oh, man. Live is not good.
Well, your latest video, I just got done watching it a few minutes ago while the previous show was playing. And it starts off talking about the airport. Now, Michelle Randall, Mayor Randall, was on a few days ago, and she talked about the airport just is, it's too big for its britches already. I mean, it is growing like crazy.
Yeah.
Tell us what you learned while you were out there.
Yeah, I mean, it's the fastest growing airport in the country. Airports are about 3% growth, and this one is 18%.
Wow.
And a lot of the hard thing with government is a lot of the time the need is there, and then you're working on the approvals for funding,
right,
which just always take so long. And so, but it's great that they broke ground on the air traffic control tower. That is huge news. And then they're working on the funding. They're going through the design process on the expansion of the terminal itself, but still working through the funding and hoping to have that within a couple of years, but they don't have a set time, right? It is their top priority. They know that they're bursting at the seams. They know that they need more, and which is great. And so, and then the what it's been very interesting is more and more people that I talk to talking about private planes, and the private side of the airport community is just growing like crazy too. And so there's a couple FBOs, which are fixed base operators. They're basically service companies for the private side. There's one that just finished their construction of their they expanded their building, which is Millionaire. FBO, and they actually put a cafe in there that's called the Jet Away Cafe. It's being run by Snow Canyon Catering. Nice. And it'll be open to the public as well. So even if you're not flying out of there, you can still go eat there. They expanded theirs, and then the Sandstone FBO that has a building there, they're building a brand new one on the south end, which will be another fixed-base operator, with a bigger footprint down there. Because, yes, the private community keeps getting bigger and bigger, and then the commercial side is bursting at the seams. So yeah. They're behind the eight ball, but they're moving as fast as they can, despite the fact that it's government and it.
Yeah, you got to wait till you get all the I's dotted and the
I's and T's. Yeah.
I was going to ask you, this is kind of a good study of St. George in that we have an area that needs expansion, but at the same time, first of all, the money's not there yet. But, you know, St. George Regional Airport is so nice to fly out of right now, but the bigger it gets, the less convenient that's going to be to the everyday traveler. I mean, I love right now going to St. George Regional and getting through TSA in, like, what, 4 minutes?
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. If it keeps growing, and it's going to eventually, I mean, I don't think we're ever going to have Vegas, like,
no.
Know, 3-hour wait, 2-hour wait, but it's going to start to get...
No, and I think either way, it's going to remain a regional airport. I think of, like, John Wayne Airport, for example, in Santa Ana, Orange County. Right. Best airport in the world, in my opinion.
Really? Never been.
It's incredible. Yeah. I'm really hoping, crossing my fingers, Breeze Airways, it flies out of. It's a Utah-based company. It's Neilman that was JetBlue, and this is his fifth airline.
Oh, wow.
This is the last airline, he says. They are now flying from Provo to Santa Ana to John Wayne, as well as Ogden to Santa Ana. And I'm praying, because it's the Disneyland flight.
Yeah.
It's right in between Disneyland and Newport Beach. And when we used to go, when we were younger and no kids or anything, we'd go down to Vegas and hop on the Spirit flight or Frontier and fly down there. And it's amazing because there's no traffic around the airport. There's a bunch of, like, it's a big business area where there's a bunch of Marriott and Hilton hotels and whatnot. And 15 minutes from Disneyland, 15 minutes from Newport, and the best airport. But where I'm going with that is I envision, because it's bigger, but it's not an international or even, you know, a national airport. It's small, but it still has flights coming in from everywhere. What I envision, hopefully, is that this, as it gets bigger, it's never going to become, you know, Las Vegas. And we don't need it to become Las Vegas, but right. We do need more options. And yeah. I feel like as long as they can mimic what, like, a John Wayne has done or something like that, where it's still a small feeling and you're still, you know, you can get in and out of there very easily, I think it'll be awesome.
Nice. We're going to talk more about what's going on down on Exit 2 and the Southern Parkway. I did want to get a question answered. This guy texted, I don't know if it was a guy or girl, but they texted the mayor on last Thursday, and the mayor wasn't sure about the answer. And they, well, let's try McCray. What is all of the development going on up Highway 18 south of the ledges? They're putting a pipeline in, and I already know that. Maybe McCray can tell us what is going on up there. It's around 4200 north by the new exit that we're building. Do you know?
It's a big development.
It is. Housing development?
A little bit of both.
Okay.
From what I've heard, some residential, some commercial, I think some aspect of hospitality, but I don't have any specifics yet at all. It's still super early.
Okay.
But they did buy, I think, I want to say 380 acres, something like that, I want to say. But I don't. No, I don't know all the specifics yet.
Okay.
Other than I've just heard that there will be some residential and some commercial, and but from there, I don't have anything else.
He did say at the end of his text, if McCray knows the answer, he'll vote for you for mayor.
Vote Michelle Randall.
Okay,
I'm not running for mayor this year nor any time in my future. From if I have anything to do about it.
Same here. Yeah. All right, we got to get a commercial break in. Right now, text me Angel, A-N-G-E-L. I've got a $10 gift card to Angelica's for if you'll text me right now at 435-467-5842. $10 free to Angelica's, 435-467-5842.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
I'm Andy. Thanks for tuning in. 950 on KDXU. McCray Hepler on the program this morning talking about the Southern Parkway, the exit 2, if you will, the desert color area. I don't know. What else are we going to call it? Airport?
The South Block.
Yeah.
I've heard that reference as
the South Block. Okay.
Because, yes, there's desert color. There's exit 2 where there's Sun River on mm-hmm. the one side. Then you've got desert color on the other side. And desert color does go for a little ways. But then it turns into desert canyons.
Right.
And I think that I like the South Block.
Yeah.
Kind of encompasses everything.
Sounds prison-like, though. I don't know. So. We're
true.
Talking with Mayor Randall about that new... they're going to have a reservoir out there in Santa Clara called... But the place is called Graveyard Wash. I'm like, we cannot call it Graveyard Reservoir. No.
I've thought that same thing, yeah. But I haven't said anything.
Call it something different. I mean, once a year on Halloween, that would be fun. But the rest of the year... Eh. Hey, I'm going to go swimming. Where are you going to go swimming? Graveyard? No.
Anyway. I get it.
McCray here talking about the South Block a little bit. All right, so first thing first, I guess Big Shots is not Big Shots anymore. They changed their name.
Yeah, Crush It.
Crush It.
Crush It Golf and Grill.
Okay. Well, they clearly haven't seen me golf if they think that should be the name of it. Because I do not crush it. But okay, Crush It Golf and, I don't know, was it Grill or something like that?
Yeah.
Golf and Grill.
Yeah, I haven't been yet since they've rebranded, but.
Food is really good, I will say that. We had a company party there once and they catered and had fajitas and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Really
yeah,
good.
Same. So, did that same thing.
Yeah. Okay, what else do we know about Exit 2, the South Block?
Oh, so much happening there. Right around the Desert Color, the Desert Color Commercial Center,
mm-hmm.
right next to the Crush It, is going to be the big megaplex, 75,000 square footer. That should still break ground this year, is what they're saying. It won't be done until 2027. They're also working on the other one out in Paseo, which is on 3000 East across from the Linz in the Washington Fields area. It's St. George, but it's the Fields area. That one will open, they say, 2026, and then 2027 for Desert Color. But then in Desert Color, there's a couple restaurants in the works, a brand new one to town, Fat Burger, which is apparently all over the world. They're not only in the U.S., but Africa, Asia, South America. I've heard really good things. I've heard it's all good, all fresh ingredients. So that's going in just across from the Megaplex, along with another Mobetta's. That's both of those in the same building. Mountain America is under construction on theirs, as well as America First. There's a new stoplight at that intersection right there. They're on two different corners of it, and that just got installed. I think this week it's now officially operating as a stoplight. And then you've got some other restaurants out there. You know, you got your Pizza Hut and the Jersey Mike's. There's also Mavi Med Spa that just opened up, Peach Wave Frozen Yogurt. There's a nail salon, the Swig, a bunch of different things that are now waiting on the grocery to actually sign and get going. They do have an LOI with a grocer that will be the anchor for that whole commercial area. Not allowed to say who it is just yet because it's not official.
And you know, though?
I can't say.
Okay, that's all right. I understand.
Because it's not official yet. And then, so yes, that'll be big. Intermountain Health just broke ground a little while back on their 35-acre campus. It'll be a primary care clinic. Just further south near the neighborhood. And yeah, a lot of stuff. There's some apartments that just opened up. There's a resort, Atara Marriott Resort, that has got some traction again just recently. And then on the other side of the exit, well, then we've got, of course, got the Costco that's moving. Yeah. That one should be completed by the end of the year, construction, but then it takes them a month or two, or 2 or 3 months to get everything situated to open. They're supposed to open next spring.
I think a lot of people are like, wait, how could that? How could they build something that big that fast? Costco's kind of known for that.
Yeah, they build it in 120 days, wow. Apparently. So. Incredible. And I've heard it's actually 90 days, but from the time that, because they're doing a bunch of dirt work right now, but I've heard from the time that it goes vertical, it's 90 days, which is crazy. Efficient. Then on the other side, Sun River Commons, there's the Del Taco that's open. In-N-Out, that I get asked a lot about right next to it, is still not moving, but they are still slated to go.
It is coming.
Okay. Got approved a couple months back by the city council. And then right in front of there, there's a bunch of construction happening on two buildings. So far, Cafe Rio has signed. Okay. No other signings just yet. They did have Starbucks, but Starbucks has backed out. And then across from there, next to the Smiths, gas pumps, there's a Chase Bank that should start construction at the end of the year. There's another big retailer right just south of the Smiths that is working towards signing. They just have an LOI at this point too, but should be signing, I think, this month is what they said. And then from there, there's a couple hotels in the works right there. There's a hotel Home 2 Suites, as well as Atwell Suites by IHG. Those two should start construction by the end of the year, as well as the Les Schwab tire service store that is under construction. That one should be done by the end of the year and open. So there's a lot going on. It's that exit is primed for commercial. And then as the homes continue out there, you know, there'll be more and more that come. So
it's hard to believe, you know, McCray, think back to high school and what was down there when you were in high school.
Yeah, nothing.
Nothing. There was nothing there.
Nothing. Not even the exit 7 or the Southern Parkway.
Yeah.
Southern Parkway, I'd left my mission from Tech Ridge, now Tech Ridge, the old airport.
Yeah.
In 2009, March of 2009, I left from here out of the old airport, and I came back to the new airport.
Oh, I didn't know that. Wow.
And had no idea where we were. Had zero clue. And I said,
is this St. George? What's going on?
This is St. George. Yeah. And I remember driving on that Southern Parkway for the first time, and I said, where are we? It wow. was so crazy. Wow, and so, yeah, it's crazy to think about. It's crazy to think about. I personally love it. I'd rather be in a thriving economy than a dying economy. I know there's cons to growth, but there's so many more pros to growth. And if you think about it, if you think about all the dynamics of growth, I think there's a lot of good growth happening here, a lot of responsible growth happening here. And yes, there are some negatives to it, but the positives far outweigh the negatives, in my opinion. And I'm just happy to be here.
Yeah, me too. A couple of quick questions for you. There was a little restaurant over in Desert Canyon called the Sidecar.
Yes.
I understand it is not anymore. It's a different
yes.
restaurant?
Yeah, so that one now is Strap Tank Express and Tap Room.
Oh, okay.
So it's Strap Tank Brewery that's over here by the...
I've been there. I like it. Yeah, by the convention center.
Yes, so it's an express out there. So they've got some of the same types of food. But I think in just a more fast express way. And then they've got a tap room with a bunch of different types of alcohol. So now it's that and then the coffee club that are in that building. There's a coffee shop. But yes, it replaced Sidecar Cafe. And then across front the highway from there is DBAT Baseball and Softball Academy.
Really?
And it's a 14,000 square foot building with 11 batting cages. 3 of them are automated. And they've got a big Easton and Rawlings pro shop. Like it's a sweet spot. So if you've got kids in baseball or softball, definitely recommend checking it out.
All right, real quick, any update? We have 30 seconds on the Northern Parkway. Is that ever going to happen? Do you know anything?
Still in litigation, yeah. Unfortunately.
All right. And we're not lawyers, even though
we're not.
Thank you, McCray.
Thanks, Andy.
Here on the Andrew Griffith Show. Good to see you, McCray. We are out of time. I'll be back tomorrow. Now, Nanette Billings is on the show tomorrow. Interesting. She actually got trampled by a horse. Broke some bones, but she's going to call into the show and tell us about what happened at Pete's Days when she got trampled by a horse. Thanks for listening, everybody. See you later.